Yeah, welcome back to the program here. We're talking about, well, the law of attraction and how it really works and how to make it work better when it comes to romantic relationships, about manifesting happiness. We're talking with Mark Michaels and Patricia Johnson. Their website is tantrapm.com, which is linked up right now at coasttocoastan.com. And Mark and Patricia, this has been rather enlightening talking about these different things. I wonder, how does the approach of dating and romance in America sort of measure up with different countries around the world? Good or bad?
It's very different.
Depending
on which country, yes.
One thing that we've just been looking at is that in a lot of European countries, women working is not an issue. And it seems as though in America, there's a lot of stress on long-term relationships because due to the changing nature of the workforce and the fact that more and more women and more households have to be two-earner households. And what some of the research suggests is that if women got more support in terms of longer maternity leave and more support with childcare, we wouldn't quite have the same problems here as we do. In countries where women get more support, marriage seems to be in better shape.
Hmm. Well, is there any type of data that says that people are more happily married in different countries because of their different approaches?
That would be the inference that you would draw, that where women have more support in the society at large, the marriages are happier.
Hmm. Is there any country that stands out head and shoulders above any other?
Finland is one. Sweden is another.
Hmm.
But generally speaking, in Western Europe, there aren't quite the level of problems that we have. I mean, I think another thing that we have is a very strange sort of morality around cheating where, it's looked at with huge disapproval and yet huge numbers of people cheat. And I think in Europe generally there's a little more tolerance of that kind of thing. And that seems to make marriages more sustainable.
Well, cheating is a big issue when it comes to relationships. And you're right, there are different attitudes. I remember hearing in France the president would show up at a function with his wife and his mistress.
Yeah.
And it never gets reported about because they just sort of, they don't care. And that strikes us as very strange. What are the sensibilities when it comes to a relationship? Is it defined by culture and what, you grew up as? I mean, there seems to be, depending upon where you live, that sort of determines what seems to be right.
I think it's influenced by culture, and what we're encouraging people is to resist defining their relationships by how the culture says they should be. Rather, look at the relationship as unique and individual. I don't think there's any two relationships that are alike, and we encourage people to think of their relationship as a designer relationship.
Hmm. So there are no sort of hard and fast rules you put on any of these things?
You jointly decide your hard and fast rules among your partner, with your partner. So, yeah, that's where the rulemaking should be happening.
And, our culture is changing so rapidly, and what people expected in a relationship 20 years ago, let alone 50 or 60 years ago, was really, really different. And so I think this idea that now we're in a realm where there's enormous possibility and people can decide what their rules are, how their relationship is going to look, and not be bound by what their grandparents thought it should be, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents are in their 80s and or my mother's pushing 90 now. They grew up in a time when divorce was a terrible, terrible thing and a very, very rare thing. They lived through the 60s and 70s and stayed married through all of that.
So death until death do you part really meant something.
Yeah.
That's all changed. So now it's really about if you're in a marriage, it's about choosing constantly to remain there. And that's a big difference. It, in some ways, it's very freeing.
Freeing, and it has this potential of you know, really creating something beautiful and gorgeous that, you know, becomes your life together.
Hmm. If people are in a relationship and they get to where they sort of settle and they get to a point where, you know, they've just sort of, you know, they've just built themselves into this thing. And there's a lot of things that they'd like to change, but they feel like they just can't. Because if they did, they feel like it would jeopardize this sort of status quo. What do you tell people who know they're unhappy, yet they feel the status quo is better than the alternative of perhaps losing the relationship entirely?
Well, I mean, one thing I would say is that you can take small steps to rebuild the relationship, to reconnect, to rekindle what you've been feeling. The eye-gazing practice is a starter for us.
And another instance, too, is we like to define love as profound interest. So becoming interested in your partner, where they are and what they're doing, just even a slight increase in interest can start to rebuild goodwill. And, you know, start employing these kind of skill sets can, you know, we've seen it refurbish relationships that are, you know, in danger, on the brink of breaking up, and they rediscovered that love that they had that brought them together.
There's a therapist called John Gottman who's a really one of the outstanding couples therapists in the country, and he uses a term called turning toward. And one of the things that he finds is that couples who actively turn toward one another, who make repeated bids for connection, are likely to be happier and are likely to have a more thriving relationship. And so it just takes a few minutes a week, really, to make a little bit of effort to actually pay attention, to listen to your partner, to engage. And that's going to have benefits that far exceed the effort involved.
It's a great way to counteract the you know, the self-help industry, you know, the therapeutic industry that encourages people to look at what's wrong and then express what's wrong. So disappointment gets expressed, what's wrong gets expressed. Well, that becomes a negative spiral, and it's really not happy-making ultimately if that becomes your sole practice. But, you know, focusing on what you love in the moment, this very present moment. Wow, you know, you remember to buy cream. I am so grateful.
Yeah, little things. All right, well, let's open up the lines. Wildcard line. Trish is in South Dakota. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you. Can you speak to the situation about the mother who will not let her son go and resents any interference with the situation between her and her son?
I'm not sure we understand mother who is interfering with the son's relationship. Did I hear that right?
Yes.
In-laws are very, very difficult, or can be. We're fortunate in that our parents all get along pretty well and pretty much leave us to our own devices. But I think that setting boundaries is crucial in that situation. And to some degree, I don't think that the son has to choose between the wife and the mother, but the son has gotten into a marriage, and there has to be some measure of boundary setting.
And some measure of where that relationship is a priority, you know, where that nurturing and that bond with the beloved is the priority, not the maternal, you know.
I hope that's somewhat helpful. It's a very difficult situation, especially if the mother is determined and intrusive and just won't let go. But again, I think that it's the responsibility of the son to a large extent to set the boundaries.
And the partner can support any efforts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good. Well, let's hold it right there. We'll come back and take more phone calls right after the break. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. And we're talking about this idea of attraction. And I just got an email from someone who makes a pretty good point. Mark and Mark Michaels and Patricia Johnson join us about this idea of, well, people who are single and are looking to find someone, but they want to find someone who shares their interest. Now, this email says, look, I listen to Coast. I'm interested in these things about paranormal and, you know, things having to do with mysteries. And so when I, you know, think about finding someone to spend time with, I want someone who knows about these things. Is that a good starting point for most folks who, would have that expectation?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, common interests, at least enough common interests, are really important and can provide a great foundation. And I mean, we talked a little bit about internet dating. One of the ways that the internet is great for this kind of thing is through things like Meetup, where you can actually go and have face-to-face encounters with people who share your interests.
Mm. Yeah, it's free. And literally any type of activity you can do, you can think of, is on there.
Yes, everything, I think.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. I mean, you could meet someone who just came to this country or came to whatever country you're in and knows nothing about the things you know and could be very compatible, right?
Yes, yes. So that's not, it's just a lot of, you know, these things are just to increase your chances of meeting someone who you're compatible with, but or, you know, have that potential to have that relationship with, but they don't preclude the normal ways people meet every day.
And in our case, I mean, we got together having out of a shared interest in Tantra, but that's one thing. We were completely different in terms of our other interests. I was really a rock and roller, and Patricia was an opera singer, and, you know, we probably would not have had much in common if we'd met 10 years before.
Right. Timing is a lot to do with it. Now, some people say, oh, we met at the wrong time. Is that something that you feel as though is a real thing, where people who are right for each other but just not right at that time that they might have met?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes complete sense, especially since we would like to suggest that there's several people that you could have wonderful, long-term, fulfilling relationships with.
And they could be radically different kinds of people and from radically different backgrounds. You know, you hear stories all the time of people who, you know, were high school sweethearts and lost touch with each other and went off in different lives, and then later in life they meet up and reconnect. I've known some people who, you know, ended up getting married from that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. All right, let's go to East of the Rockies. John's in Lima, Ohio. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to thank your guests for blowing some of the mist right out of the water.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had the honor of watching my grandparents, in the later years. And this idea of the merely physical man who's, you know, there for the sex and to bring a paycheck home, when it come down to the end or toward the end, and both of my grandparents were ill, the irony was that my grandfather, who was the breadwinner and worked outside of the home and had the hobbies, but when it come down toward the end, I could picture Grandma without Grandpa. But there was no way I could picture Grandpa without Grandma. And so there is the idea of just, you know, the male physical role, you know, uncommunicative, you know, kind of to themselves. That kind of blows it out of the water, I think.
Yeah, and I think men are a great deal more vulnerable than people like to admit. And I mean, to talk about the sort of the physical side, there's some research that suggests that men really overstate their desire for sexual contact in many cases. And actually, men really want the emotional connection.
And studies show that men tend to fall in love more quickly and express that they're in love more quickly than women, and also that men suffer greatly, a more deeper blow when relationships do break up.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thanks, John.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the first-time caller line. We have John from Santa Monica, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Welcome. What can we do?
My wife and I have been married for more than 30 years. So we've got something right. We're still happy. We like to be with each other. But something I've been curious about for a long time is I want to know what tantric sex is. And can it get a relationship deeper and more loving?
Good question.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. We've actually had students that were married for well over 25 years, and they reported that they were having better sex than they ever had. So it always can deepen your relationship and deepen your connection.
Maybe just to define Tantra for people, it's an Indian spiritual tradition that's closely related to yoga. It does have a sexual component to it. And the idea is really that in that realm, you're doing more than just connecting physically. You're connecting energetically, you're exchanging energy, and you're each working to build the other's energy higher and higher. And so we really try to apply this concept across the board in relationships, and we talk about it a lot in Partners in Passion. You're there to serve your partner.
And so it involves an attitude of worship of one another. And with that, and also you use and engage the full body rather than think of your time together or as being localized in one area of the body.
Right.
So you're taking this physical thing and you're really moving it to a whole different level.
But using your whole being and not just the lower bits.
Exactly.
Well, you know, some people, I think, do this automatically. I think some people just have a capacity for this and maybe just do that naturally, and other folks might not.
Yes, yeah, and we find that, you know, in our lectures, sometimes people will go, oh, well, I've always had that experience. We just gave them new words to describe it.
Right, okay. Let's try and sneak in another phone call here. They're ringing and ringing. We got Falls Church, Virginia. Bill's out there. He's on Coast to Coast. Welcome.
Yes, before I tell you about an instance, what is your ham radio call letters, Ron Simone?
I don't use it very much, but I will dig it out of the drawer and I will mention it on the air sometime.
Oh, no, keep me on the line after this.
Okay.
Anyway, there are companies that take this information, and I was associated with it and use the information on something else where they shouldn't. But anyway,
okay.
Keep the phone open. I want to talk to you during the break.
Any questions for guests?
Have they mentioned a company that also did that to tell the name of the company that used the information otherwise?
Oh, the dating service.
Dating service.
Okay. All right, Bill. Yeah, thanks.
Good. Hold it up.
Yeah.
Well, the corporation that owns Match.com and OkCupid is IAC. They also own Expedia, Ask.com, About.com, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, a rabbit hole. It's just these companies are, you know, all owned by one big one, the deeper you go. Well, stay right there. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to come back, more phone calls and more talk about relationships and this law of attraction. What does it mean to you? Keep it right there. This is Coast to Coast AM. Yeah, welcome back to the program. We're talking with Mark Michaels and Patricia Johnson about what the new laws of attraction and the 10 big myths to having a good relationship and how loneliness has become big business. And this old world is getting crazier and crazier. I don't know. What do you think? Should you go online if you're looking to find a date or find a relationship and put all your information in some computer, give it all to some nameless a company, God knows what they're going to do with it. Does that seem like a good alternative? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe change your lifestyle. What do you think? Do you think there's too much of this online dating going on? And is it safe enough? you feel as though it's a trend worth pursuing or not? Well, we're going to take your phone calls right after this quick break and more about the idea of bringing what you want into your life right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. And we're talking with Mark and Patricia. Their website, of course, is linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. It's tantrapm.com. And tell us another one of these myths to having a good relationship. Can you debunk another one for us?
Yeah, another one that we can debunk is that you need to work on your relationship. We really don't go for that idea very much because what it usually means is that people have waited until things are in really bad shape, and now we've got to take time to work on the relationship. And when that's the case, it's usually too late.
Yeah, it implies heavy labor, right, to rebuild and to reconstruct. We'd rather people nurture and start from day one with that attitude.
Huh, okay.
Because work, you know, it kind of implies drudgery. It implies a task, a chore. And we really like to think of a relationship as a joint venture or a joint adventure that you're undertaking together and that you're collaborating on and creating together.
Mm. Okay, so you know, Coast to Coast is a very special show, and our listeners are, well, who knows? I mean, all walks of life, obviously, but they're interested in these things intellectually. They're interested in a larger universe. What kind of maybe quick advice could you give people who are looking to sort of open up their romantic horizons? But designed especially to our listeners.
Well, I think, you know, what we said before about seeking out people of like mind is really the way to begin to make that possible. And you've got a great community in Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
And I like how your community seeks out the truth. So looking at the underlying mechanisms that are in place in these sites, you know, knowing that can help them use the sites to their benefit and not become victimized by them.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder how many marriages have happened for people who have met through Coast. I wonder if you met your partner through something related to Coast to Coast, Sam, call in. I'd like to talk to you. And well, we have a bunch of other people actually calling in right now. Let's talk to Savant, Kansas City. Welcome to Coast.
Thank you. I just had a question and a comment. Amongst many things that I do, I work internet security, and I just wanted to give a warning to people that are out there searching on online dating sites. 90% of the people on there are not who they claim to be. Most of these companies, as you just mentioned, that are all large companies, all they're about is driving business, and most of the people that appear on dating sites, their pictures have been stolen from other sites. I actually worked with a modeling agency out of Hawaii that every single one of the models' pictures from the site had been stolen from online and had false identities created. And so people that go online on dating sites need to be very, very careful, because what happens is these people get online just to get people's pictures and people's information and templatize it. And believe it or not, majority of them are sitting in a call center in Nigeria, or they're backed by the Russian mob. So you need to be very, very careful. And one of the keys is, if you're going online to meet somebody, insist that they get on Skype with you. And even then, I have had people use pre-recorded video loops. There is a huge, huge rip-off business out there. I actually worked with Dr. Phil on clearing out an entire call center in Nigeria for these people. So
wow, okay,
something
good
that
advice.
I want people to be aware of.
Yeah.
I know the people out of desperation. Sometimes you hear about the old ladies and the old men and different people that send money overseas and all this. So you know, people need to be aware. They need to be very extremely careful.
Yeah, anything online these days. Any questions for us?
I wondered. I heard mention many things about, you know, basing a relationship on. It seems like that most relationships, if you had to pick one thing that is the ultimate destroyer of relationships, what would that one thing be? To me, it seems like, from everybody that I've known in the past, you know, regardless of all the other factors, the one major destroyer has always been money. always if people get in a financial bind, they seem to lose the attraction.
Mm. That's a good question. What is the biggest obstacle?
Money is definitely a huge one, and financial, either financial stresses on a relationship or financial disagreements.
Or non-consensual spending, I think, is also a big stressor.
Money is definitely up there. Whether it's number one is a little bit hard to say. I don't know that we'd pick a single problem as a relationship destroyer. One of the things that we talk about in Partners in Passion as the big problem that people face, especially if they're together for a long time, is complacency.
Hmm.
And just taking each other for granted, losing physical and emotional touch with one another. And these are things, if you're in a bad financial situation, the best you can do is hope to sort of nurture each other through it. But if you take that attitude of mutual support and caring, it makes it more likely that you'll weather the storm.
Okay. Well, we've got more questions. Wild Card Line. Scott's in Denver. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for a great show tonight. I was actually talking about this with my girlfriend earlier this week about how everybody is searching for someone. That's the only thing it seems like we're fed we need to have is somebody in our lives, and got to have a family and a house and all this. Even watching the sitcoms, that's what they're all based about. One of the most popular sitcoms in the 90s was Friends. All those people on that show just looking for, got to have somebody, got to have somebody. But I wanted to ask a question, too. A good friend of mine, she's gone through countless relationships, ended pretty badly, and she always calls me with advice. Well, after a while, you get kind of burned out on giving the same advice, so I wanted to get some feedback from you guys about any advice I can tell her to just maybe stop looking so hard. I'm reminded of Lord Byron. He had a great quote which said, I think I'm paraphrasing here, it said, in solitude is when released alone, I think is how it's worded, the gist of it. But
I think that's a super important point. I mean that we're so conditioned to be afraid of solitude in our culture. Even as we're kind of, even if we're just sitting at the computer and typing away, we feel this need to be constantly engaged with each other. And you can only really love someone else if you can tolerate being alone.
And to the depth that you are in love with your own self. And so, nurturing solitude and really embracing you being with yourself is really, I think until that's in place, you're not going to be able to find a partner.
Now, I think the idea, and this is, people remember Jerry Maguire and the big emotional heartstring tugging line in the movie was, "You complete me."
Sure. And yeah, exactly.
If you're looking for someone to complete you, you're in trouble.
You're kind of walking around as half a person. That just doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I think we're all born with everything we need in life, we're born with. That's what I'm always been taught. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one.
Cool.
Well, thanks, Scott.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Have a good night.
Sure.
Yeah. I kind of get that, too. People should be a complete, fully formed person and find another completely, fully formed person, and rather than having this feeling that they're incomplete.
Yeah, I mean, because feeling incomplete and looking for someone else to fill you, there's no way that another person can fill that feeling, can make you feel like a whole person if you don't feel whole already.
They will always fail you in that.
All right, more phone calls are piling in. We got Bob from Wisconsin. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on with Mark and Patricia.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The couple callers previous there was kind of warning people about the websites out there. I'd like to share a real brief, quick. I won't mention the website, okay? But on that website, the person portrayed themselves as a lady, and we were chit-chatting. She wanted me to get off of that IM and go to the yahoo I am, because all of a sudden she starts asking me for money, and we only lived about 19 miles apart. I sent back, well, let's go have a pizza and da-da-da-da-da, and then the kind of a hang-up. The next morning, all of a sudden my cursor started moving around on me, so I unplugged it. And the next day I went on there, and all of a sudden 276,000 files started loading on my computer. I pulled the plug, and I haven't been on it since almost 3 years now.
Wow.
So that's a bad experience, you know?
Say so. Yeah. Did you download anything to get on this website or to chat with this person through this website? Did you download any software?
No. It was a website. It was Christian Mingles, and it had their own. I wasn't supposed to say that.
You just named them.
they had their own IM.
Yeah. Well, it could have been. Yeah, these things are very sophisticated. It may not have been through that website. There's a lot of other ways.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It probably isn't. That's what you got to watch out for today. About 10, 15 years ago, it was different. I met a lot of really nice ladies within a 50-mile radius, and we dated and this and that and the other thing. Nowadays, everybody's taking advantage of loneliness and the dollar. And like you say, it could be Russia, Nigeria, all over the place. So it's really gotten bad nowadays.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, Bob.
Find somebody in your own little neighborhood, at a church, or go volunteer, and you'd be surprised who you run into, you know?
What do you think, guys?
Volunteering is great.
I love that.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's just a great suggestion. It's just simple, and it's real, and it's local. I mean, is there anything better than that suggestion, really?
No. I mean, and just the volunteering thing, you know, you're doing something that's service to others. And I think that we get so caught up in that whole model of fulfilling our needs that if you're willing to be of service to others and you meet someone who's also willing to be of service to others.
That's a great combination.
Yeah, I think that really is a great way to go. But let's keep going. We're on a roll east of the Rockies. Ronnie is in Tallahassee, Florida. Welcome. You're on with Mark and Patricia.
Hi there.
Howdy.
Hi. I'm actually on the same route with all the previous callers. I wanted to make the callers actually aware of. I actually got some emails, and I'm not real sure where I got them from exactly. But I actually get one here and there from time to time, which I just throw them into the spam box because I'm through with it, which I've already figured it out, I think. But I'll get like an email that says, "Hi, I haven't heard from you lately," or something to do with that, and it will describe themselves as being beautiful and lonely and being abused or something like that, and needs help or just would like some company.
Well, that sounds obviously, if you don't know who's sending it, like spam right there, right?
Exactly. But when it first started, I was kind of scratching my head, and I was actually going, okay, let's see where this is going, which a lot of, you know, new users might actually come in to this. And what I actually did, I actually said, okay, well, if you're really who you are, why don't you video conference me or at least take a picture of yourself and send it to me with the date, my name, and who you are on the sign, at least to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't happen.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I got a phone call a couple of days, and it sounded like a guy actually playing as a woman.
Oh, dear.
And that was really freaky. So I just, all right.
Well, I would just say to that, I would not answer any emails that just come in that appear to be from a dating site. I mean, whatever the problems we've talked about with data mining and stuff, that's a phishing email. And if you answer it, you're opening yourself up to all kinds of security problems.
Yeah. Although some people, you know, they might not know how all this stuff works, and it can be really confusing. Let's go west of the Rockies, shall we? Why not? Let's go to John. He's in Oregon. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hello.
Howdy.
Yes, I just want to make a comment and then ask a question. I went on a social media site, a very popular one, and I was talking politics, and this lady, she came on and she agreed with me, and this happened for about a week. And one day she agreed with me and she put a little heart, and I asked her to be my friend, and she said yes. And from that time on, we talked privately.
Okay.
And I called her. I asked her to call me, and she did. Mm-hmm. And I flew back there to see her, and she flew out here to see me. And she is a beautiful, lovely lady. We have everything in common. We are so compatible.
Wow.
I have waited for this woman for 60 plus years.
Wow. How long have you guys been together?
We've been together about 6 months.
So you're saying this is a success story?
And I talked to her. I am so in love with this woman, and she is so in love with me.
Wow.
And I look at her, and when she stepped off the plane, I was in tears.
Ugh.
I said, "You are so beautiful." And she said, "You are so handsome." And
that's what I love to hear. This is a real success story. Guys, and this is really, it sums up everything, that when you find someone, you put the effort in, it's transformative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what I just point out about that story is that it's not quite the dating site situation. This was a situation where they got into a discussion and found commonality.
Yeah.
The internet was the mediator, but it wasn't like a dating.
It wasn't
the,
yeah.
Now, my question is she also a Coast to Coast listener?
well, unfortunately, we don't have the time to, but I know people have been married through Coast. I absolutely know it. But I want to thank you guys for coming on. Tell us about your website or where people can find your book.
We're at www.tantrapm.com.
Mm-hmm. And our current book is Partners in Passion. It's available on Amazon, at your local bookstore, or through our website. We'll sign it for you if you buy it from us.
Cool.
Also Kindle.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your experience. And I want to thank everyone for listening to this program. It's been an absolute pleasure sharing this night with you. And I'll look forward to seeing you again sometime out there. And until next time, keep it right here on Coast to Coast AM.